Good morning. It's a beautiful day, wonderful day to be in church. I would call your attention to the announcements in the bulletin. I would especially call your attention to our pastoral concerns on the reverse side of the bulletin. We have a number of folks that are listed as pastoral concerns. I would ask that you keep them in prayer. We have the distinct pleasure of having with us today as a guest pastor, the Reverend Dr. Bob Ramey. Now, I feel sort of strange making an introduction of Bob Ramey to y'all, but there could be somebody out there, possibly, that doesn't know Bob. But so in that event, I will just tell you that he is a child of this church. We have a fond affection for both Gail and Bob, and we're so happy to have them with us today, and we're looking forward to your message. I would also call your attention, this is not in the bulletin. The membership committee has organized a First Pres Day at the Ballpark, I'll call it. I think membership committee is in charge of it. Chris Moore and Rebecca Adkinson are kind of ramrodding it. It will be this afternoon at 2:30. There will be a tailgate, if you will, at Shelter 13. The church will provide food, and so you don't have to bring a thing. Just please come and have a hot dog or a hamburger or filet mignon or whatever it is they decide to have, and then stay on for the game. There are tickets for the game, and they are tickets in the area that's covered. Now, I know for some like me, that's important. I don't want to have to sit out in the sun. So we do have tickets available that are under the cover. So please see either Chris or Rebecca, either right after church in the back, or at the game. There'll be tickets available there. Just please come. Are there other announcements that anyone would like to share? If not, let's go to God in worship.
Thank you.
Please join me for the responsive call to worship. Let us come apart from the world. Let us gather to worship God. In this hour, let us ponder things unseen and open our hearts to the one who redeems life. Let us joyfully worship God. Let us all join in singing the hymn of praise, hymn number 469, Morning Has Broken. Seated. Join me for the unison prayer of confession, followed by our silent prayers in which we speak to God about those things only we know in our hearts. Let's join together in the prayer of confession. O God, without your love and acceptance, we would not dare to confess our sins to you. But knowing that your love will surround us when we do, we are willing to reveal ourselves as we are. Forgive us for being preoccupied with our own little worlds. Enable us to look at others with more compassion. Above all, may we be willing for you to change us into the people you want us to be. Hear our prayer as we continue in silence. Amen. Just as we as Christians are called upon to confess our sins, we're also assured of pardon. Join me for the responsive assurance of pardon. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Would the children please come forward for time for young disciples?
Okay, it's working. Everybody, come on. I've got enough for everybody. If there are a few, there you go. Now, this morning, Pastor Ramey's going to be talking about a psalm. Do you know what a psalm is? Okay, a psalm is one of the best parts of the Bible. It's right smack dab in the middle. So if you want to know where it is, you open it to the middle, and it's the song book. So when they talk about psalms, we're talking about songs. This is what people would sing. Now, one of the psalms he's going to be talking about this morning is one of everybody's favorite. It's the one that talks about getting clean before you go to church. Now, how many of you, we all had to do that this morning. You jump in the shower or you take a bath, and you had probably ate breakfast, and you did what with your toothbrush? You probably brushed your teeth and stuff. Did you wash your hands? Okay, well, we got ready to go to church. Now, they, a way long time ago, had special rituals when they were getting ready to go to church. You know what they did? They had a special thing. They poured water on your hands one way, and then they'd take it and pour water on their hands another way. It was kind of cool, I bet. But remember, back in the day, when they went to church, they were cooking animals and things, so I bet they needed to clean their hands. They probably all smelled like barbecue when the church service was over. But we don't have to do that, but we do have to do things. In the Bible, this psalm says, wash away all my iniquities and clean me. Now, so I brought some helpers. Can you open this up? I brought some things just in case anybody needs to sit up here this morning and take a shower. Now, I bring these things from all over the world, and I bet your dads and moms and cousins and stuff do too. You know where this one's from? Take a wild guess. That's a shampoo bottle. Guess where it comes from? That one comes from France. It smells like oranges. Guess where that one comes from? They don't even spell shampoo the way we spell it. It's got palm trees on it, doesn't it? That's from an island off of South America. It's got palm trees. They spell shampoo, S-H-A-M-P-U. Now, where does, oh, Grace, you can read this one. What is that one made out of?
Aloe.
Hey, how many people take baths with plants? I don't usually. But the Bible talked about this boy, wash me with hyssop. If I walked up here with a branch in my hand and started shaking it on you, would you feel clean? Huh? No. Okay, well, we don't do that kind of stuff much anymore, but we do. We have showers. We bring this stuff back from all over the place. But if all of a sudden the other thing this psalm is talking about says, clean my heart. How do you do that? How do you get a clean heart? Well, we don't want to get cut open to do it. No, we don't want to do that. You help people. You pray. Ooh, bingo. When we just finished this part of the service, what was the very first thing we did after we said good morning to everybody? That big word right there, the prayer of what? Confession, right? So we said, God, I am sorry for all the mistakes I made this week and yesterday and this morning. Please forgive me. And you know what happens? You get forgiven and you're clean. So that's what they mean. That's what we do every Sunday morning when we start church. We actually all get all washed up and cleaned up. And then we ask for forgiveness and we get forgiven. And so we're clean. So let's conclude with a prayer. And y'all can take those home and you can look at them if you want to. Just don't open them in the church. I'll get in trouble. Okay? Okay. Dear God, thanks for making us clean. Amen.
comment. Is that Rebecca's little girl?
Yes, it is.
Y'all may not have been able to see her. I was up close. She's exactly like her mother, just exactly like her mother. Let's join as we have the prayer for illumination. Oh God, by your Spirit, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do to obey Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament and New Testament lesson today, the Old Testament lesson is from the book of Psalms, which Tom made reference to. New Testament lesson is from James. Both of those selections will come today from the New Revised Standard Version. If you wish, please follow along in the pew Bibles, but I will read from the New Revised Standard Version. Psalm 51, verses 6 through 12. You desire truth in the inward being, therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Our New Testament lesson comes to us from James, the book of James, chapter 5, verses 13 through 19. Again, reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are there any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. gospel lesson this Lord's Day is found in John 14, verses 1 through 7, and also 15 through 17. Listen for good news. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And then verses 15 through 17, Jesus continues, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. May God bless this reading and hearing of his holy word. Do any of you here this morning remember that once popular TV show called To Tell the Truth and emceed by the late Gary Moore? Well, three people would appear before a panel and all three of them would give the same name. John Doe, for example. Two of the three members were imposters. They pretended to be John Doe. Only John Doe himself had to tell the truth. By the questions the panel members asked, they tried to guess which person was the real John Doe. Finally, Gary Moore would ask, will the real John Doe please stand up? And sometimes the real John Doe was quite a surprise both to the panel and the viewing audience. But the more I think about it, the more convinced I am that to some extent we're all imposters who pretend to be somebody we aren't. We wear masks to disguise ourselves so others won't know who we really are. For example, we may smile politely at people when underneath we're so irritated at them that we're gnashing our teeth. We sometimes appear confident and sure when inwardly we're really shaking in our shoes. We may appear to be sitting on top of the world this morning, but then go home and yell and scream at each other the rest of the day. Yes, if the full truth were known, would many of us be revealed as people who live behind a mask? And you never know who is living behind the cleverest mask. It may be your closest friend or family member, or even the most respected citizen in the community. When they suddenly do something strange or startling, we can hardly believe it. I once thought I knew a church elder in another city quite well. He was a businessman who who owned his own business. He served our church in so many ways, lovable and friendly. He belonged to the best clubs in town. But after I had moved to another church, I received a clipping in the mail one day that knocked my socks off. That elder had been arrested for robbing a bank. He had placed a stocking mask over his face, held a toy pistol on the teller, and ordered her to fill a sack with money. He then drove off in his car, only to be caught a short while later by the police. The whole town was shocked. We had all been looking at the part of his life we knew, his lovable, friendly nature, not that hidden part. But don't be too hard on him. Do I know who you are? Do you know who I am? In Psalm 51, David cried out to the Lord, after greatly sinning, you desire truth in the inward being. David was saying, in other words, that God wants us to be truthful about what is going on instead of offering excuses or covering up or hiding. You would think that all of us would be experts about what is going on in our own lives. Yet this is so hard for us to do. We see someone else in action and say, I wish she would take a good look at herself. But it's quite difficult for us to admit the contradictions that are in us. People could well say to us, will the real you please stand up? Why is it so hard for us to tell the truth about ourselves? Why do we continue to live in denial year after year? One reason is that we are afraid we will be plunged into despair if we look at ourselves honestly. We fear we'll find problems we can't solve. And so we say, I know I'm fooling myself, but somehow I have to keep going. Early in my pastoral training, this experience came home to me with crushing force. One summer, I was working as a chaplain intern in a mental hospital in Columbus, Ohio. It was a rough time for our little group of interns as we looked deeply within ourselves. As we began, a staff psychiatrist gave each one of us the Rorschach inkblot test. That test, as you may know, consists of a series of cards, each of which has an inkblot on it. Now, the blots themselves are not intended to be pictures of anything. You just see what you are inclined to see there. But a trained psychiatrist or psychologist can tell much about you as you describe what you see in those ink blots. I knew this when I took the test. As I looked at those ink blots, I remember saying to myself again and again, man, if I tell that psychiatrist what I really see, he never will let me out of here. I was afraid that I would discover problems I couldn't handle. Another reason it's so hard for us to look behind the mask we wear is plain old pride. After we depend on our disguises for so long, we don't want others to find out what we are truly like. Do you remember my church friend who robbed the bank? Evidently, he had gotten heavily into debt and saw no way out. His own brother said about him, he was in trouble and he didn't know where else to turn. He had too much pride, I think. Not that there's a single person here today who wouldn't admit that he or she is a sinner. We readily stand up and confess, all we like sheep have gone astray. But what sins do we confess? Perhaps only those that don't make us look too bad, not those sins that cripple us and keep us awake at night. You ever heard about that tenant farmer who felt very guilty about something he had done? But finally, he went to his landlord and said, "I have stolen a rope from you." Well, his landlord said, "Well, that seems like a small thing. You are forgiven." And the tenant farmer walked away. But he neglected to tell the landlord that there was a cow tied to the end of that rope. We'll confess those small rope-like sins, but forget all about the cow-like sins. We keep them in our private pastures. Let me ask you this. Do you know anyone in the world to whom you would be willing to tell the whole truth about yourself without omitting a single detail, your every action, your every thought, past or present? I doubt it. Pride plays a part. A third reason surfaces as to why it's so hard for us to look behind the mask we wear. We are afraid we won't be loved and accepted if the truth about us is known. We say to ourselves, "They seem to like me now, but will they love me if they find out who I really am?" All I can say is that we have partly failed in our homes, in our churches, and in our schools. We have encouraged people to live behind a mask and to hide their deepest feelings and to be somebody they're not. Don't we often give them the impression that we love them only when they behave themselves and do what we expect them to do? Children soon learn that we adults like them if they behave the way we want them to behave. So what do they sometimes do? They pretend to be somebody they aren't because they think others will not accept them otherwise. The late Gene Barry, a TV actor, said that from the time he was 6 years old, he had known he wanted to be an actor. But whenever he told adults that he did, they frowned. So he decided to tell them that he wanted to be a civil engineer. And he noticed that they smiled then. So he grew up telling everybody he wanted to be a civil engineer when he grew up. All the while, he still knew he wanted to be an actor. Society puts pressure on us in subtle ways to pretend to be somebody we are not. We feel that others accept us now, but will they accept us if the full truth is known about us? Yes, it's so difficult to be honest. But there always comes a midnight hour when we must unmask if we are going to be real persons, the persons God wants us to be. The deepest despair in life comes from pretending to be someone you aren't, from hiding, from covering up. There's that sinking feeling, if others knew who I really am, they wouldn't still love me. Was that behind David's longing in Psalm 51 when he also cried out, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me"? To those of you who this morning find it hard to be honest, there comes an old but wonderful message, the message of the gospel, the good news. The gospel says that because Jesus Christ has taken our sins upon himself, we can come into God's presence as we are, sin and all. The God we worship opens up a way for us so that by being truthful about ourselves, we can be healed and liberated. As German theologian and martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "This message is liberation through truth. You can hide nothing from God. The mask you wear before others will do no good before Him." Scripture also says, "But God proves His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we were good, mind you, but when we were bad. God loves us and accepts us as we are." But there's often another crucial part to our unmasking, and that is to find acceptance from trustworthy, loving people. At times, most of us need to find a highly trustworthy counselor or person or even group of persons with whom we can be honest and to whom we can confess our sins. Of course, that person or group above all else should keep our confidence. Be wary about confessing to that jokester who quipped, "Oh, I can keep secrets. It's just the people I tell who can't keep them." But why do we ever need to confess at all to other human beings? Hear Bonhoeffer again. "Who can give us the certainty that in the confession and the forgiveness of our sins, we are dealing with a living God and not just with ourselves?" God gives us this certainty, Bonhoeffer says, through our brother. Our brother breaks the circle of self-deception. He's saying that when you confess your sins to a sister or brother, you know you are no longer alone with yourself. You experience the presence of God in and through that other person. As long as I am by myself when I confess my sins, everything may remain in the dark. You experience the presence of God in and through the other person. As long as I keep everything in the dark, I will never know with such clarity that I can no longer deny my sins. Thus, in the book of James, we read this morning, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." Such confession can change your very life, as many have discovered. The great Swiss physician and counselor Paul Tournier reported that one of his patients said to him one day, in a moment of true confession, "I don't know why I tell you all this. I've never told anyone else. I never thought I would be able to tell anyone. What a relief it is to get it all off my chest." Not only a relief, but very helpful. Because you are accepted, you see more clearly that part of yourself you have so carefully hidden from the world. You not only see the parts of yourself you don't like, but you also see the person you are down deep, the person you can become by God's grace. You discover the good, the positive, and the true. After all, you were created in the image of God. Yes, we know we have messed up that image, but as Baptist pastor Grady Nutt once said in his folksy, ungrammatical way, "God don't make no junk, and God doesn't." God will polish that image if you give Him a chance. And so, my friend, tell the truth about yourself, because God loves you just as you are, so that you can become the person God wants you to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now stand and affirm our faith as we say what we believe by repeating the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and it shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us remain standing as we sing our hymn of response, 383. That's a correction from the bulletin. 383. My faith looks up to thee. Be seated. Let us join together in our pastoral prayer. Oh God, you have drawn us to this place of worship today. Thank you for your redeeming grace, especially your grace that we saw on the day of Pentecost when you poured out your Spirit on your people. We have praised your holy and loving name this morning in word and song. We have read and proclaimed your word, and now we are responding to your word as we seek to put it into action. But we know that we need your help to do that. For some of our members listed in our bulletin are under medical care in our hospital or nursing care facilities, or being cared for at home. Help them, Lord, and their caregivers. Others are undergoing various medical treatments. Still others have problems that are difficult to discuss, but concerning nonetheless. Help them, we ask. And as always, we pray for those still dealing with a deep sense of loss over a family member or friend. May they continue to hear Jesus say to them, "My peace I give to you." As we look out at the world this morning and see the headlines screaming at us, we are troubled on many fronts by sharp divisions and acrimony within our nation, by trade issues with China, by puzzling relationships with Russia, by increasing difficulties with Iran, with on and off negotiations with North Korea, and by continued fighting in Syria and Afghanistan. Help us to develop a wise immigration policy. And in the meantime, guide us as we seek to care for the immigrants who remain on the border, and especially for those children. Be with our brave armed forces everywhere as they serve us in the name of freedom. For we pray together now a prayer our Lord taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." And now, friends in Christ, remember the words of our Lord, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Let us worship God with our morning offering. us pray. Oh God, we thank you for giving us so much. Help us to use these offerings today to spread the good news that Jesus Christ is our Lord, to your glory. His name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is 316, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit go with you now and always.